On BBC Radio 4, over to a man who knows how many seconds make 60, Nicholas Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but throughout the world, but also to welcome the four exciting performers who this week are going to play Just a Minute. And we welcome four of the most talented and outstanding and humorous performers we have in our country, and they are Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Kate Hesketh-Harvey, and Linda Smith. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Arts Centre in King's Lynn, and we have a wonderful, passionate King's Lynn audience in front of us, who are ready to cheer us on our way. As we start the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is a close shave. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
A wet shave is so much closer than an electric one. There is a shop in Jermyn Street in London that specialises in shaving gentlemen with beards, or indeed without hair on their cheek. It doesn't particularly matter. If you do have some sort of hirsute growth, then you do get your money's worth, I feel, rather than going in completely clean shaven and asking for them to have another go at you. I was in there recently, and what a joy it is to be pampered and...
And Julian Clare, you challenged.
Hesitation,
I agree, yes. So, you have 34 seconds, and you take over the subject, you get a point, of course, for a correct challenge, and you take over the subject of a close shave, starting now.
The closest shave I've ever had was while I was driving down a motorway. I was on tour at the time, and I happened by chance to have a rampantly homosexual driver. We would pass the time by leering at lorry drivers. And on one occasion, we were busy looking to our left at someone gorgeous in a great big truck. And we failed to notice that the traffic ahead had stopped. Well, I very nearly went to meet my maker, I can tell you. It was awful, but I survived, which is why I'm here in King's Lynn. And other close shaves that I've enjoyed involve a bitch.
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Julian Clary. So at the end of that round, he's got 2 points. In fact, he's the only one who's got any points at all. And we move on to the next round. And Julian, we'd like you to start the second round because it's fan letters. And we'd love to hear from you on that subject. And you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Generally speaking, fan letters are delightful. There's a woman called Reenie somewhere in Dorset. Hello, if you're listening. She writes to me on a regular basis.
Paul Merton challenge.
I have a confession to make. That's me.
I think that particular challenge deserves a bonus point.
I've been writing for years, you know.
Yes, for courage, if nothing else. But have you a challenge within the rules of Just a Minute?
No, sadly not.
Sadly not. So, Junie gets a point for being interrupted, because that's what happened. And he continues, a point for an incorrect challenge, in other words, with fan letters, 30 seconds available, starting now.
Reenie writes to me...
Paul challenge.
Repetition of Reenie.
Yes, you mentioned Reenie before. So... Why say, oh, so is this the rules of the game? Paul, the correct challenge, a point to you for that. Fan letters is with you, 29 seconds starting now.
I first started writing to Julian under the name of Reenie in 1988 when I felt sorry for him in the dressing room. His popularity was extremely low around the country. In fact, even the milkman used to smash bottles through the door in an aggressive attempt to put him off. So I wrote this marvellous letter. Dear sir, I wrote, I have long...
Kit Hesketh-Harvey, you've challenged.
Lots of roots, haven't we?
Yes, we've had lots of roots.
Have you had lots of
roots? Yes.
I'm so sorry.
Yes, you have. Yeah. And so, Kit, you come in with a correct challenge, a point to you, and 9 seconds available. Tell us something about fan letters starting now.
There's a marvellous shop of electrical goods here in Queen Street in beautiful King's Lynn, which sells fans, and people write letters to them from all over the station.
So Kit Hesketh-Harvey was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He's equal with Paul Merton in second place. Julian Clary is in the lead, and Linda begins the next round. Linda Smith, the subject is worms. That's a nasty subject for a lovely person like you, but you tell us something about worms in 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
worms. The diet of worms was where the great church reformer Martin Luther spoke to the clerics of the time. As a child, I was confused by this title. Did it mean these venerable leaders of the church walked around with badges saying, lose weight now, ask me how, eat loads and loads of worms? But no, that isn't what it meant.
Paul Challenge.
Loads and loads.
Loads and loads. Yes, it's a difficult name, isn't it?
Yes.
Paul, correct challenge. 38 seconds are available. You tell us something about worms starting now.
I don't know a great deal about worms apart from the various sadistic experiments that boys at school used to carry out with them. You can put a worm into a pair of high-heel shoes and make it sing to Judy Garland records and they hate it. A worm is a sensitive creature and really cannot take the very difficult rhythms that are sometimes...
Ah, you went on a flight of fantasy there which completely tied you up. But it was lovely. And, Julian, you challenge first. Yes, hesitation, I'm sure. 16 seconds for you. Worms, tell us something about them, starting now.
I once suspected that I had worms because...
Paul has challenged you immediately.
That was me again.
I can't give you another bonus point, but we did enjoy it, Paul. But Julian was interrupted. He gets a point for that incorrect challenge. 13 seconds, worms, Julian starting now.
I thought this was the case because I couldn't stop putting things in my mouth and swallowing them. I seemed to have a giant void within that no thing could fill.
Linda, you challenged.
Just on the basis of taste and decency.
Well, they clapped that, but have you got a challenge within the rules of just a minute?
Yes, there was a hesitation.
Yes, there was a stumble, which we interpret as hesitation. So, Linda, you get a point for that. You have 4 seconds. You tell us something more about worms, starting now.
Worms are hermaphrodites, so they can quite literally make their own entertainment.
Linda Smith, then, speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, so they're all pretty equal in their situation. Julian Clary is just in the lead. Kit Hesketh-Harvey, your turn to begin. The subject, a nice topical one here for King's Lynn, the wash. And you have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, yes, indeed. Here we are in King's Lynn at the mouth of the Wash, which is where the River Great Ouse discharges itself into the North Sea through a system of dikes complicated and laid end to end all over the fens by Cornelius Van Muiden. Out through Denver Sluice they do come and terrify the inhabitants. King John famously lost his jewels in the Wash, a tragic accident which involved a legless pony and the treasure. Oh, Lord.
I think you brought back personal memories to some of them out there. Kid, but Linda, you challenge first. Yes, hesitation. And you have 31 seconds. You tell us something about the Wash, starting now.
The Wash. I'm a little alarmed to find that I have 31 seconds in which to explain all that I know about the Wash, because I suspect I could do it in rather less time than that. However, I do feel sympathy for the regal person.
And Julian challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think that was hesitation. Julian, the Wash. You tell us something about it. There are 17 seconds available, starting now.
I once lost a ring in the Wash.
Paul challenged you.
Hesitation.
Yes, I'm afraid the world. You got a big laugh and pause. It's very difficult in this show. You get a laugh, you have to sort of ride it and ignore it because...
I beg your pardon?
It is a professional expression called riding the laugh. Paul, a correct challenge, 14 seconds. Tell us something about the Wash, starting now.
Well, like all rituals, one has to take one's time.
Sugar lump.
I thought it was going to be one, but it wasn't. It was, one and ones.
Yeah. One and ones,
and I'm a fool, and
I wish I were dead. No. All that happens, he was interrupted, gets another point.
They're lovely for him.
Yes, lovely for him. 11 seconds, still with you, Paul, on the Wash, starting now.
Pour the water into the sink via the hot tap and the cold, but then you...
Linda, you challenged.
Well, it was a lovely moment, Paul, but it was, in fact, technically hesitation.
It was. Within the rules of justice, it was definitely hesitation. Yeah. Right. So, Linda, 6 seconds. You tell us more about The Wash, starting now.
The Wash sounds like a Hollywood blockbuster film set in Norwich, where the whole of East Anglia is completely...
Linda was again speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so. She's now equal with Paul Merton in second place. 1 point behind Julian Clary. Kit Hesketh-Harvey trails a little. Paul, your turn to begin. The subject is chewing gum. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Chewing gum. It's very good for the teeth after you've eaten a meal. You chew away at some gum.
Julian, challenge.
I thought there was two chews, but there was a chewing and a chew.
Yes, you can repeat what's on the card either in the same phrase or individually the words. So, unfortunately, Julian, an incorrect challenge. Paul gets another point, and he has 56 seconds chewing gum starting now.
It creates saliva, which cleans the teeth of residual bacteria. And also, chewing gum is very nasty stuff that you find stuck under tables. If I was to put my hand underneath the wooden structure in front of me now, and yes, there is a huge lump of chewing gum probably left there.
Julian, challenge.
It's not chewing gum.
As you're sitting next to Paul, are you going to tell us what it is or not?
No.
No.
It's got a spearmint taste.
Are you going to give us a challenge within the rules of just a minute?
No.
Well, you've got a bonus point because the audience enjoyed your challenge so much. But Paul was interrupted, so he gets another point, and he continues with chewing gum for 39 seconds, starting now.
In the capital city of London, of the country that we now reside in, apart from those people obviously who are in India and China, I'm referring to the place where I'm speaking from, they spend millions of pounds every year removing chewing gum from public statues. There's one particular woman, Reenie her name is, she sticks chewing gum at the top of Nelson's Column. It's a hell of a drop for her to go all the way up there, and then she comes back down again, but...
Julian, challenge.
It's just a kind of deviation, because it's not a drop for her. Nelson's Column would be... It's an upward thing to go up Nelson's Column. It's not a drop.
But then she comes down again. When she's up there, she can drop. She can't keep going.
Well, it's not what you said.
I think actually, if she was to drop down, I think she'd do herself a fatal injury. The idea, I think she'd have to climb down. So I think it's a fairly legitimate challenge, actually, Julian.
And also, Nicholas.
Have you ever tried dropping off Nelson's Column? Yes, what do you say, Linda?
I think not only is it a legitimate challenge, it wouldn't just be a drop for her, it'd be a drop for any of us, really, wouldn't it? Coming down there. Not just Reenie. Why single Reenie out?
The wisdom that falls from your lips on occasions, Linda, is absolutely incredible. Julian, you have the benefit of the doubt, and you have 14 seconds, and you have chewing gum starting now. Chewing gum. And Paul's challenge.
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
He's a bit slow at getting going sometimes, isn't he? You did.
He tends to finish at a gallop, though.
Yeah, I know. It was a whole second. I tell you what, I gave the benefit of the doubt to you on the last challenge, so I will redress it by giving the benefit of the doubt on this occasion to Paul Merton and say, Paul, you have a point for that, and you have 13 seconds on chewing gum starting now.
It was invented in America.
Julian, challenge.
Well, he tripped over his words.
That's right, hesitation. You got it back again. Right. So... 11 seconds, Julian. Chewing gum starting now.
Chewing gum can be very useful for strengthening the jaw, which will then be applied in various other...
he slipped over his words.
Chewing gum in his mouth, yeah. I think. He really. Yeah. But 5 seconds, other point to you, Paul. Chewing gum starting now.
Captain Wrigley, having spent 35 years at sea, suddenly came up with a wonderful invention. It was called...
Well... That sticky round, the words were sticking in their voices on many occasions. But a lot of points were scored. Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle win, gained an extra point for doing so. And he and Julian Clary have both leapt forward together. Paul is just one ahead of Julian. And it's your turn to begin, Linda. Freckles, starting now.
Freckles? I've got freckles, but rather like ABBA CDs, I don't know where they came from. I sometimes like to join together all my freckles with a pen, and it builds a beautiful picture of a little kitten in a basket playing with a ball of wool. It really is quite diverting. I suggest that other people with that pale, rather Celtic mien to their skin should try a similar kind of entertainment, because it will while away the long winter hours here in King's Lynn, and I dare say winter hours do not get much longer.
I'm sure you were clapping the passion that was on Linda's face as she struggled to get on Freckles. But, Paul, you challenge first.
It's a repetition of Winter Hours.
Yeah, that's right, yes. 25 seconds now with you, Paul. Having got another point, of course, Freckles starting now.
If you go to Ireland, you find that the people there are covered in nothing but freckles. Well, there's clothes, obviously, as well. But you see their faces are very, extremely...
Julian challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was, Julian. And you have 16 seconds. Freckles starting now.
Must be a bit of a curse, really, having freckles. And can you imagine being ginger to boot? I think it's God's little trick. Something to make more attractive people feel better about themselves. And it's just too bad if you're ginger with them.
So you get in anyway, Paul, because that was your challenge, and it's obviously a hesitation this time. Freckles is with you, and 3 seconds ago, starting now.
The very important thing to consider about freckles is this.
So Paul Merton was speaking then with a whistle when gained an extra point and has increased his lead at the end of that round. And Kit Hesketh-Harvey, your turn to begin the subject, nursery rhymes. Tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now.
Nursery rhymes are supposed to evoke the innocence of childhood and the purity of infancy, but just consider, Wee Willie Winkie ran through the town. Imagine calling somebody that. They would be psychologically cauterized for life. The grand old Duke of York may have had 10,000 men. It's a little too much information for somebody of that age to handle. As for Mary having a little lamb, my God! The King of Spain's daughter came to visit me, and all on account of my nuts. It's pornography! It's filth! We should give them Lady Chatterley's lover, Knave and Hustler, instead of all this. Ride a cock horse to Banbury Cross! What are we doing to the infants of this country? I can bear it no longer.
Well... deserved round of applause, Kit. You can bear it no longer. You packed it in. And, Paul, you were the first one to challenge for the hesitation. 14 seconds. You tell us something about nursery rhymes starting now.
On the other hand, they're charming little rhymes that enchant our children. Who can ever forget the first time they ever heard that story about the poor cat that fell down the well and all the various people...
Kit has given Harvey
It challenged. Was a pussy, and I rest my case.
I'm glad you rested your case after that remark. As a bonus point to Kit. And Paul gets a point for being interrupted. And he still has a subject. And he has 1 second available. Nursery rhymes starting now.
Little Jack Horner sat in the corner.
Well, Kit Hesketh-Harvey, in spite of his passion in that last round, only got 1 point. But he's still in fourth place. And then just ahead of him is Linda Smith. Then Julian Clary, and then Paul out in the lead. And Paul, your turn to begin the subject, attracting someone's attention. Tell us something about that subject in this game, if you can, starting now.
Semaphore is a good way of doing it, or perhaps just catching somebody's eye in the corner of a room. If you really concentrate, you can make people look at you, can't you, Julian? Yes, there we are. He's agreeing with me. It's an extraordinary ability that you can actually worth trying. Catch somebody's eye, you just look at them.
Linda Smith challenge.
You've caught two people's eye now.
Yes, right. So, Linda, correct challenge, 45 seconds. Attracting someone's attention starting now.
Attracting someone's attention can be quite difficult, for example, in a restaurant. It sometimes makes you feel as if you are the invisible woman, but you forgot to put the bandages on this woman this morning, and nobody can and Kit, nobody can hear
I'm
you
sorry,
speak
Linda,
the
I'm
Queen's
sorry.
English because yes. you've lost all powers of it.
Right.
Sorry.
The man sitting next to you has challenged you.
I was trying to attract your attention there. Hesitation.
It was yes, hesitation.
A collapse.
Yes. Right. So, yes. 35 seconds for you, Kit, on.
I think hesitation will do. I don't think we need to collapse, do we?
Attracting someone's attention, Kit. 35 seconds starting now.
You have to be very careful how and where you do it. I went to the local.
So, Linda, you're back in there with a flash. So, Linda, you have the subject. And you have 31 seconds. Attracting someone's attention, starting now.
Attracting someone's attention is quite easy if that person is Nicholas Parsons and you are playing the game of just a minute. You simply ring your little bell and then you tell him why you are doing that thing.
Paul Merton challenge.
You're right, it works. It does work. It does work.
Well done,
Isn't
Paul.
Isn't that a thing?
Isn't that a thing? Any challenge when the rules...
No, I just wanted to see it.
No, right. Well, there we are. But give Paul a bonus point because they all clapped. He'd obviously deserved it. And Linda, you were interrupted, so you get a point and you still have the subject. You have 19 seconds and it's attracting someone's attention starting now.
I think the demonstration we've just seen amply illustrates the point I'm trying to make to you very good people this evening. Our esteemed chairman is so on the ball. He's like a rabbit out of a stew. He just... He's...
Hesitation, I'm afraid.
Hesitate? Well, after that last remark, I'm not surprised. Yes, yes, rabbit out of a stew. Seems as if I've been cooked. Right, here we are. 4 seconds, Kip. Attracting someone's attention starting now.
The auction room's at Snettisham, where I bought an eel keep, a muck spreader, and a ferret.
Kitsis Kathabi spoke to the whistle wand. Gained that extra point. He's now equal with Julian Clare and Linda Smith, all in second place, trailing Paul Merton. And Julian, your turn to begin. The subject, my worst phobia. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
I have a whole range of phobias to choose from, but what I would describe as the worst one is maroon cars. I won't get into one. I won't even cross the road in front of one. And I don't know why this is. I put it down to the maroon school uniform that I had to wear.
Linda, challenge.
Two maroons.
Yes, I'm sorry. You marooned by your own colour there. 46 seconds, Linda. My worst phobia starting now.
My worst phobia are golf courses. I really dislike them. They are so ugly, and they encourage people who should stay indoors to go outside. For example, publicans in vast Pringle sweaters straining over their huge beer guts, and estate agents who witter on, usually in quite annoying nasal voices, about a marvellous deal they clinched this morning. And the actual layout of these dreadful things is so ugly, like those gardens that are full of conifers and heather. Very unstylish. People say, oh, it's a walk in the countryside. It's not. It's nature tidied up, which is a terrible idea. I put them in the same category as bungalows, which to me are high-rise coffins rather than...
Well, Linda kept going magnificently to the whistle when gained that extra point for doing this. And all that passion there, Linda, has only got you one extra point. But it was worth... But I really must take a task about golf courses. I mean, some of them are beautiful. I mean, the ones that have been landscaped by Jack Nicklaus, designed by him and Montgomery and others, there's some of them as wonderful, exquisite places to wander, even if you don't like some of the people on the course.
Sad
you obviously have a passion about exercise.
I'm sorry.
Not
I'm
at all.
Sorry.
No,
you've
no.
just proved my whole point there, Nicholas. Better than I could ever have done.
Right. Anyway, they didn't do an R, as you said it. And it's your turn to begin, Linda. And the subject is vegetarians. Tell us something about vegetarians with the same passion if you can, starting now.
Vegetarians come in for a lot of ridicule. I think it's unfair. People only take advantage because they're too weak and feeble to defend themselves, depleted as they are of vital nutrients from their strange mode of eating. I once went to a vegetarian circus. It was a disaster. The most thrilling spectacle there was a man who placed his head into the mouth of a live yogurt. It wasn't exactly the scariest thing you'd ever seen. In Brighton, which is a haven for vegetarians, I need hardly explain, there is a shop selling shoes for vegetarians, no doubt on the grounds that these items are far tastier than anything the poor blighters might actually eat. I, as you may have gathered, am not a vegetarian, but even so, I expect these days with BSE and things like that, they're feeling very smug. So hats off to them, in a...
And hats off to Linda Smith, who started with the subject, kept going without any interruption or any hesitation, repetition or deviation, till the final whistle. And somebody hasn't done that for quite a long time
she's
in just a minute.
She's never done it before, she's just shyly confessed.
No, think you've ever done it. It's been done before once or twice.
Yes, to the cherry popped. It's great.
Yes, to the cherry popped. And what happens on that occasion is that she not only gets a point for speaking when the whistle went, she gains a bonus point for not being interrupted. So you are two magnificent points. And you have leapt forward, Linda. but you're still in second place. You're training Paul Merton. And just behind you is Kit Etheth Harvey and Julian Clary, equal in third place, as we move into the final round, alas. Kit, it's your turn to begin. Please take the last round. The subject is The First Time I Played Just a Minute. It's a good subject, isn't it? A little second to think about it, and you start now.
Looking at the motley crew in front of you, you may think that people just stumble into this program. It is not the case at all. There's a bizarre, arcane initiation ritual through which you have to go. One is invited to Nicholas Parsons' Cotswold mansion, beneath which is a specially constructed rubber playpen. You are greeted by Linda Smith, dressed as a Swedish prison wardress, who severely jangles her chatelaine and leads you through to meet Julian Clary, wearing nothing but a big smile and a bottle of Mazola oil. Then you confront upon his throne Paul Merton in a polar skin jockstrap, suggestively stroking a rather good-looking black-faced Jacob's sheep. You are then blindfolded, and the rest I must draw a veil of taste and decency over the good burghers of King's Lynn, who are protected, thank God, from such atrocities.
And nobody had you for deviation. My God, I won't be able to lift up my head in the Cotswolds.
True.
I know.
Deviation.
I know. But, Paul, you actually challenged.
Yes, it was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes. We enjoyed it, yes. But, and, Paul, with 7 seconds ago, you've got in on the subject of the first time I played Just a Minute. Tell us something about it, starting now.
The very first time I played Just a Minute was in the year 1988, and I was very pleased to be doing the programme because I'd listened to it as a boy.
So Paul Merton was speaking as the whistlewind gained that extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And certainly what he was saying then, I'm sure he could have gone further and tell you how much he enjoyed playing the game as a boy. And one day he played it for real and has never left us since, we are delighted to be able to say. And once again, he's proved his talent at playing the game because he managed to beat Julian Clary, Linda Smith and Kit Hesketh Harvey, who all trail him in points, but not by many. So this week, Paul, we say you are our winner. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four wonderful players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Clary, Kit Hesketh Harvey and Linda Smith. Also thank Janet Sablehurst for helping me with the score and also blowing her whistle so delicately after 60 seconds on every occasion. We are grateful to Ian Messiter and indebted to him for having created this game which we enjoy playing. And also we thank our producer, Claire Jones, who keeps us in order whenever she possibly can. And also to this lovely audience here who've shown passion here at the Arts Centre in Kingsley and as they've cheered us on our way. Thank you to our audience. Thank you to the panel. And from me and from them, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye. Tune in next time we play Just a Minute.
And Just a Minute, we'll return at the same time next week when Clement Freud, Paul Merton, Graham Norton and Sue Perkins will be battling it out for Just a Minute supremacy.